This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
First of all, what's your dress by? It's beautiful. Or your
yes. Shirt? Who did
Theory.
The outfit?
Theory.
Oh, okay, it's beautiful.
And the little purple or grape, would you call it?
Wow,
sweater.
You were very...
It's fashion review.
Detailed,
Stephen.
Yeah.
Vince.
Okay.
So I didn't hear you. What you said what the dress was?
The skirt is the skirt. Theory.
Theory,
is the top?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. I don't know, but you're straight.
And a black top by.
I don't know what that is. Just say Theory and Vince.
Okay.
I do that on, she gets so mad at me, I do that on the red carpet all the time. People are like, what are you wearing? I'm like, oh, you have to snap. Wait, what does it say? Quick.
The amazing thing about this for you, I think, is that we found out that Miri and Zach and Miri Make a Porno was written for you.
Yes.
You were all set to star in it,
mm-hmm.
And then this happened. How weird was it to give up a project that you've been, you know?
Actually, it was Eagle Eye. That came up that I had signed up. Zach and Mary hadn't set a date yet, so we were kind of going back and forth for quite a while. And I ended up I signed on Eagle Eye, and then like 3 days later, he's like, "But I'm shooting in January," and I'm like, "I didn't know that you didn't," you know. So it ended up not working out, and you know, so that was really unfortunate because I really love him so much. But yeah, so here we are here. So this was actually completely, you know, sort of, there was no other issues with 7 pounds, yeah. And there was absolutely, in that regard, there was nothing that I wanted to do more than I wanted to do this movie.
Did you spend some time around heart patients to kind of get
it? I did, yes. I met with someone who had actually even had a heart transplant. I studied and looked at surgeries. I talked to a trauma doctor. And it brought a lot of information of just understanding, you know, how many surgeries she probably already had by that point. She must have had probably 4 or 5 different, you know, pacemakers kind of put in and different types of surgeries done, because you don't go in to the level of getting a heart transplant, being on a heart transplant waiting list without that. So even talking to him about how he felt, what the energy was when the phone rang. Like, I mean, we really just kind of went into the beat by beats of it all, and it was just really incredible learning about the fact that he can't run, learning about, you know, walking 3 paces and being out of breath, like taking all of those details, but then filtering it through Emily. And Emily was not someone who these facts just created. They were part of her life, but she chose to be someone so beautiful and graceful and dignified in the face of her mortality. And that was something that I was really moved by, and is one of the reasons why I very much wanted to play Emily and why I wanted to bring her to life, because she seemed so complex. Even as tenacious as she was and on point as she was in regards to Ben's character, she was also really alone. And, you know, the juxtaposition of her seeming to be so on it and having her life in order and so precise, and her printing press and all the little things that she had kind of detailed in her life, she was also the person calling an IRS agent, you know, at the hospital, you know, and asking for a bedtime story because she didn't have anyone else to call. And that was at her really most dire, when her face and her health were really starting to jump and she was really concerned about dying. And that's the person she called. That made me feel so sad for her that that's all she had. But so beautiful, I thought, that she would just make that call, though. And she wasn't afraid to really say, "Do you ever think about dying?" And meaning it when she was asking the question. I felt like the heartfeltness about every single bit of dialogue that she had was something really remarkable and something we could all probably learn from. If we really were that real all the time, we save ourselves a lot of time.
Acting is about reacting. I'm just wondering, can you talk about your process with Will, you know, and in terms of how giving was he, and, you know, were you... Light.
Well, Will's a complete jerk. He's one of those guys who's only on for his side of the camera. Once it goes on me, there's just nothing. No, he was amazing. We had 5 weeks of rehearsal, which actually did not feel like enough time when we were going into it. But it actually was quite a lot of time, especially for other films that, you know, we don't have that much for. But this, the chemistry between these two characters was so important. And we worked through the entire script from beginning to end, and changed a lot of things and would do the scenes over and over and over again, trying to find our place and pushing ourselves. You know, Gabrielle would be like, no, you're doing that thing with your eyebrow. Rosario, stop using your hands so much. Like, any little trick, anything that we were kind of going into behavior-wise would be stripped from us. Yeah, I don't like that. I don't know why. I don't feel it. You seem like you're faking it. I don't want you to be acting. You have to be it. And it's hard to be it. You know, at the end of the day, you're realizing you're resisting it to some degree, even as much as you're committed and you're there, because you're talking about life and death, and these are scary things personally. It's not like we're fighting aliens or something like that. It's fully abstract. This is real. And having to deal with thinking about your own mortality and let that really sink in so you can ask the question, do you ever think about dying? And really mean it. It's like, oh my God, you know? So it was incredible. You know, we really fell in love with these characters. Will, towards the end, hated Ben. I continued to fall in love with Emily, but he started getting really kind of over Ben. And that was really interesting to sort of, like, work through. And that was probably, you know, he was incredibly gracious and amazing throughout almost all of it up until that point where he was really resisting and fighting being this person. And ultimately, that's because Ben was fighting being who he was as well. And that was really interesting. Just seeing how far we were falling into these characters and really considering how we are in the world and how meaningful or unmeaningful that we, you know, and how sincere we are and all the things that we do. It was incredible. I was very grateful for someone to be working with someone as committed and as great of an actor as Will is, because, you know, we shot over, what is it, Steve, like 2 months?
About 60 shooting days.
Yeah, 2 months.
All local, all Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Rosario, who or what keeps you going when you face sorrow or trauma in your own life?
The only people who make me feel that are my mom and my grandmother. I mean, I love my dad, I love my brother, I love all the different people in my life, but the people who literally stop, you know, my heart are my mom and my grandmother. And it's like, I remember when they were all coming to visit me and I was driving. It was the first time. I mean, I don't have any kids. I can imagine what it must feel like to drive your kids in a car and just suddenly just be really aware of all the jerks on the road. But I was like in driving school. I was like checking all my mirrors. I was making sure I was going super slow. My grandmother's even going, what is going so slow? It's like, I suddenly just felt so concerned and so aware of the fact that I had three generations in one car and how responsible I would be for that. When I first read the script, I was with my grandmother and my mom on a flight coming back from the Hispanic Heritage Awards in D.C. And my grandmother was asleep on my mom, and my mom was asleep on me. And I cracked open the script, and that's the place that I was in when I read this script. So I think that's one of the reasons why it really impacted me, was to think about, my mom's diabetic and asthmatic. And so health is something that I'm always very concerned about in regard to her. And I know for her, looking at the script and coming to visit me on set and seeing me sick was really hard for her to think of me in that position. And we're just very emotionally connected, the three of us, in a very deep way. And they're the people that I always need when I'm not happy or going through anything. And I can't imagine them not being there. So that's honestly the scariest thing I could possibly imagine. And I remember I sat down, I broke down, I was crying, Steve, with my mom when I read the script. And I said, I'm going to be able to audition for this. And the audition's coming up. And I'm so scared. This is the most important thing ever. And you always hope as an actor that you would get this kind of script across your desk. And sometimes I've gotten that script and I've been told the offer's out to someone else. So it's been really awesome to read a script that someone else is going to do. But this time I was actually going to be able to audition. And I knew it was coming up. And if I didn't get this part, it was because of me. That there were a lot of other women vying for this role. And that this was really big. And I needed to prepare. And I needed to know that I actually could be a good enough actor to make this woman come to life, because she deserved it. She had an incredible story that needed to be told, and needed to be told well. Mm-hmm. And that was something that was really intense for me.
How did you find out about it? What was the most difficult scene for you to shoot? What was the most challenging?
I think it wasn't actually the most difficult, but it definitely was the most emotional and intense was the scenes in the hospital, two. One where I'm calling him and making the phone call. And that one was just really difficult because as we were shooting it, Gabrielle felt the scene was too long. It was running several minutes long. And we were shooting and shooting. I'm bawling. And all of a sudden he goes, God, this is too long. And him and Will walked away and came back and said, okay, these three pages are out. And I went, like, whoa, okay. And that was amazing because, you know, as an actor sometimes, even in that space of keeping it as fresh and being emotional and doing all that, you still get caught in your rhythm. And I had to get out of that rhythm and be fresh with it again and still be able to be connected and emotional. And we kind of went over it and went, okay, that line, that I need that line to be here. This line is really important. This is the one that gets us over here. And going, okay, but this line, you know, just really structuring it and being really, that was when I needed to be technical. And I, you know, I'm not Juilliard trained. I was lucky that I was talking to Tracy Toms and she would come over and we would have meetings about the character and we worked through the entire script together. And I benefited from her Juilliard training. But, you know, it was taking that balance of what I like to come from, which is a little bit, it's not less prepared, but it definitely comes from a more personal way of approaching it. And then having that professional way of being able to go, okay, but technically, I need to keep those tears going. I need to keep this going. I need the emotions to register. I need to be there. And whatever it is that I need to make that happen, I need to make clear so we can get this done because we're not going to do this tomorrow. We're doing it today. So that was something that was really, really intense, and thank God for projects like Rent and other things that really helped me to be exactly where I could be capable of drawing that out of myself now.
It's a beautiful love story. What do you think people will learn after watching this
film? I hope compassion for themselves, honestly. I think that's the thing that I was so moved by, with people being so, you can be so caught up in yourself, and you can forget the people around you, and you can even forget the choices that you have in front of you. And sometimes it takes a stranger talking to you where you can be honest because you don't have any of the things going, well, you think of me as your sister or your friend or your boyfriend, whatever it is, and you're not going to allow me to really just say what I'm thinking and feeling without you filtering it through, well, you never said that before. So that's something that I feel like just really registering and being honest and truthful to yourself and being able to come from that place, because we all have choices all the time. That's something that is one of the things I'm really drawn to in a lot of projects and scripts that I read. That's one of the reasons why I loved working on 25th Hour. That wasn't really where my character was coming from, but the story as an arc was really talking about choice. And in 25 hours, you can completely turn your life around. You could be a different person in a different place and just move on. And you have that ability. Life is too short and precious to not try that and give yourself that opportunity. So I really, you know, when people walk out of the theater, I hope they really look at each other and open the door for each other. You know, like, I think we really need to have a sense of community around us that we haven't had for a really long time.
This movie is about random acts of kindness. Mm-hmm. Have you done any that you could share, or have you ever had any done to you?
Yes, lots and lots and lots. I co-founded a voting organization called Voto Latino 4 years ago. So we do a lot of stuff within that organization, just knocking on doors, talking to people, letting them know that their voice is important and matters. And it's amazing to see people go, well, I've never voted before in their 30s, and go, because no one ever asked. But you seem really like it's important. And aren't you that actress? And I'm like, yes, but today I'm voter registration woman. I'm telling you, I need you to vote. Well, my vote doesn't matter. Well, it matters to me. And if you vote and she votes and he votes, then I get to call those numbers and go, see, the people voted and the people need to be heard. So it's like having those kinds of conversations. And it goes from that, working with the Lower East Side Girls Club, working with V-Day and being able to hear women telling their stories about abuse and violence and how they're going to be courageous and take those words back onto themselves and be strong. I mean, there's so many stories out there that need to be told. I'm so moved in this movie when he says, don't be weak to that woman who is abused. It's such a harsh and strong moment. And she goes, I know. And that's just so deep to me. It's so beautiful. And I really hope I'm so grateful that Will is doing a story like this that would normally get relegated to being an independent film, that would not normally get put in a huge Cineplex. And pairing himself with Gabrielli again, which they did this in Pursuit of Happiness. They were allowed grown men and women to be crying in a theater together and still feel like they were who they were. Didn't take away from them, they just allowed them to be emotional. That's something so incredible. We need more of that. So for that, I mean, I work with all these other organizations, but I'm also like this type of person. I love Milan Kundera, and there's this book he wrote, Immortality, and this woman's walking around giving people flowers in the street. So I do that sometimes, and I'll just give people flowers in the street. And it's amazing to get people and watch someone's face as you go and give them a flower in the street, and someone down the block see it and go, that looks really weird. And then you kind of look at the face again, and they're like, I wonder if she's going to give me a flower. And then kind of feel a little bit, like, upset if I don't, like, totally see him. You see him slowing down to make sure. And, like, would you like a flower? Well, yes, that would be very nice. And the grin on their face and the innocence that comes when people just see each other. I think that's just really, really, really important. And even if that homeless guy on the street asks for some change and you don't have money and you just go, I'm so sorry, I hope you have a great day, a lot of the times they'll just really appreciate that you didn't just ignore them. It means so much.
This is New York. Do people ever offer to pay you for those flowers?
In New York. No, actually, that was in San Francisco the time that I did that. The flowers, I did that twice in San Francisco. New York, no, New York's a little tougher. New York's that place where it's like you will see someone actually going through the garbage and offer them, like, your pizza and be like, I ain't homeless. Why are you offering me pizza? Like, all right, I'm sorry. I'm just going to put it right here. And if you want it, that's where it's going to be. New York's a little bit more difficult.
Is it hard for you to watch yourself on screen?
No. Narcissistic actress right here. No, I don't see myself when I'm on screen. And when I see myself, that's when I get annoyed. But I see, when I watch this movie, I see Emily. And I really love Emily. You know, and if I'm really looking at myself, I'm going, I probably would never wear that blouse. Or I would never, you know, like, I just, it's not that. And I'm really grateful for that. For two reasons. One, I get really kind of miffed a little bit when I hear about different actors who don't watch their own films. And I'm like, then why am I supposed to pay $10 to watch it if you won't even watch it, A? And B, I just, you know, I'm getting into producing now. And I produced this film, Descent, which was very hard to watch because I'm being raped and then I'm raping someone else. And that was really scary and ugly to see those types of expressions on my face, that type of pain, that type of anger. And I was able to just kind of watch Maya and see her journey and see the person that she was and just be honest with her choices, because a lot of the times I'm acting completely contrary to my own instincts. Something He Got Game was one of the real first experiences. I mean, definitely my character in Kids, but I didn't think about acting at all at that point because I wasn't making myself that. But He Got Game, playing a 17-year-old girl who's cheating on her boyfriend and is promiscuous and just stupid. And it just made me really angry. And I got that when other people were watching, going, I hated you in this movie, but I felt you at the end. And it was like, well, because I felt her at the end as well. I gave her as much as I disliked her in so many regards, I also understood she was just 17. And she was just making stupid choices. And they weren't my choices. And they definitely weren't ones I would want other people to make. But I had to play them out because they were real and they were her choices. And that's something that I'm just really, I feel very lucky that because of the way I started as an actor, I never wanted to be an actor, so I was always just so curious about the entire process that I could watch myself. And I think that's really helpful now because I can see how much I've grown and figured out things along the way. And I can be very judgmental of myself. And I'm still very critical of that. That's really very much why I wanted to do this movie, because I knew it would force me to be a better actor.
What did you think you'd be instead of an actor?
Well, I just actually was doing some of my filing, and according to me, as a child, I read this piece of paper and said I thought I was going to be a star, and that I used to argue with people about it when they'd ask me exactly how I meant to manifest that through dancing or singing or what, and I'd be like, I'm going to be a star. Okay, get it. Like, and then that was when I was really young. And then as I started going through school and was in high school, I got really, in elementary school and high school, I got really into biology and math. So I wanted to be a marine biologist and was studying, I took civil engineering at Columbia University. And I was just I was trying to figure out where I was going to be in, like, either the engineering or biology world. That's kind of where I was at. And that's when I was discovered into acting and continued going through high school and continued going through those classes. I didn't take any theater or any of that kind of stuff. I was just so much more into it. I took a summer class for theater my grandmother forced me to do, which I hated. Because it just was around all these people, kids, who wanted to be actors, and they all had, you know, their resumes and their headshots, and they're talking about their auditions, and it was just like, it just seemed like a world I just did not want to be a part of at all. I was so much more into pre-calculus and calculus. But I'm really, you know, I was scared when I became an actor, and I continued to do that. I thought I was kind of dooming myself to being poor for the rest of my life and being frustrated, because my mom's a singer, my dad used to act, my uncle's a comic book artist, my grandmother's a photographer and a painter and a poet, and they're all really incredible artists, but they're all very frustrated, you know, and I didn't want to be unhappy, you know, I thought that was going to make me unhappy, and so I was scared for so many years and cried and thought I made the wrong decision by not going to college for so many years.
How do you feel about the Oscar buzz?
Oh, I mean, the only O word I like to talk about is Oprah. No, I mean, I think it's well-deserved for so many people on this project. They were very, very committed in making this happen. This is a very precious and beautiful story that Grant wrote. And we all took it very seriously that we were going to be committed to it. And, I mean, there were literal conversations. If you were not helping the team, you're hurting the team. And if that's going to be the case, then don't be here. You know, we really were very intense and very honest with each other about our commitment on this. And it was really beautiful to see. You could see it across the board. And it really does trickle down from the top. And how wonderful Will is and how incredible his relationship and how wonderful Gabrielle is, who's one of the most emotional and incredible and connected directors I've ever met and worked with. It just, down to the PAs, everyone felt how special this was and wanted to be present, and everything was just worked beautifully in harmony. And even though it was like there were gray days and I'm walking around in a hospital gown and blue in the face, there were smiles in everyone's faces. And that was just unbelievable. I've never witnessed anything like that on a set before.
What about O for Obama?
O for Obama.
With Mundo Latino, how yes. do you feel that, you helped, or, the Latin vote helped, or how do you feel about the election?
The young vote definitely went towards Obama, and that was really very amazing. I felt so grateful to have had any part in this election. I think it was one of the most important elections, definitely, of my life, and to have taken the time and be registering people and educating people and pushing them to go and get themselves registered and their friends and families and moving themselves was just really powerful. And I wanted the people to win in this election, and I think that they did. So I'm coming from a nonpartisan place. I didn't tell people I could not understand the idea of going out and saying your voice matters only if you check this box. So I counted on them making the right choice for themselves, and I feel like it was a resounding yes to Obama. And we needed to have someone who I think really encouraged people to ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And he was really the candidate that I felt that really said that the most. And we need that as an antidote to the president who told us to go shopping after 9/11. So I feel like we're in a really good place, and hopefully the people that he has moved to be so community-driven in getting the vote out will continue to be very aggressive and participatory in the next few years, because he alone did not create these problems, and he alone will not solve these problems. So he's going to need all of us to actually really continue to have those networks flowing and reaching out to young people, because they're the ones who are inheriting all the problems and the child abuse, basically, of the past 8 years. And it's going to be very necessary for them to really understand how they're going to be able to pull themselves out of it so that their children don't suffer as much as this generation's going to.
Can you talk about your love scenes with Will, too?
Yes, it was really funny. Will is shockingly shy about intimacy with strangers, I guess. So I guess that's not too bad. But it was really unbelievable how much, I mean, he pushed our kiss scenes even for weeks. Like, to the point where I started getting really nervous about my breath, and like literally, it was starting to get down to like the little details of going, I mean, seriously? Like, I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, we don't have to totally do tongue. I mean, whatever. I mean, like, we can work on this. I mean, it was such a big deal. Talking about having Jada there, I mean, it was kind of getting awkward at a certain point, and going, I can't believe that you're shy and that you're nervous. And I remember we actually go into the scene where we're kissing at the printing press, and it's the very sort of towards the end. It's a very emotional scene. The way we revved up into that was Will standing outside going, yeah, we're going to get this scene. Woo! Yeah, I'm ready to go today. And I was like, you haven't done that for the past 55 days. Why today, babe? Like, you're kind of freaking me out. Like, I need a little bit calm to go into this. I need some candles and nice music. And you're screaming at me like we're about to play football or something. Like, you're just freaking me out. And it was so sweet. Everyone could tell he was really, really nervous. So I just was very gentle.
Bed.
Huh?
The ENA Award, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Why was that important to you? Why is it important to you to help the environment?
You know, I grew up in a squat on the Lower East Side, so being really aware of my consumption was something I was raised with, and I just feel really grateful, actually, for the things that I take, that I don't take for granted, that I'm really aware of in that sense, and that came from my upbringing. So I understand that that's not necessarily so for everyone else, but I also know if you start instilling that in your kids right now, it will be just as unconscious for them. And they're really more than anyone who are going to need to have that information be normal. So that's what's so great about having Obama as president, because 10 years from now, 18 years from now, when they get to vote, it's going to be normal that there was a black president, and that's not going to be a question. And just in the same way, like, we need to be understanding about water conservation and recycling and all of the things that are really necessary to making sure that our environment sustains itself, because it's not that the world's going to die. We just might not survive it. It might just shrug us off. So we need to be a lot more present and conscious of ourselves and responsible for ourselves. And I think that's a really great way to show children about how to be responsible for their environments. And if you can't do that to the playgrounds that you're having your child play in, then you're definitely not going to see them have that in the playground that they play in as adults.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.